Die Wunder dieser Welt werden dir geschenkt.
You know, I thought last week Doug had put a little closure stating that the show was going to have more freaking in it. So why the hell are you on here, Stank?
I'm trying to figure that out myself. How did I end up on here?
Yeah. I'm telling you, man, this is getting real annoying not having co-hosts around. Just everyone just rambling, fucking going wherever the hell they feel like. But we're trying to keep the show going. Got a couple things to talk about. I think Doug's over here. I don't know what the hell he's doing.
Engineering here.
Being an engineer again or something. Anyways, I know what I was going to start off the show with. I just want to get this out of the fucking way right now. Doug. You said
what's up?
You keep getting emails from Havoc.
Yeah, actually, I just got some new ones today.
Another one? Dude, oh my God.
Well, he said that apparently he emailed 1111 on default, but there were some DNS problems, and then we were supposed to address something last week's episode, I guess. I don't know. I don't check the email all the time, so. But, like, he got offended that we didn't address something, and I really have no idea what's going on, so I don't know. I think
well,
you know more
you're
about
the one
it.
Who's receiving the emails. I haven't seen any of these emails. We just basically haven't addressed this because I'm an idiot. I kept forgetting every time Doug told me, hey, Havoc emailed me again.
I can second that fact.
Yeah, well, shut up, Stank.
And I can second Stank Dog's fact.
That's why I'm on the show.
Anyway, so Doug's apparently been getting emails from Havoc. He's bitching because on a couple of our shows, I don't even know, what episode was it, like 24? What is it? This is 31, isn't it?
This is 31. I think it was 26, and he said, you have not mentioned it on 29th and 30th episode of Default Radio. This is quite more important matter to me to explain. I guess this is all because of what you did, Lucky.
What did you do?
What did I do?
You made fun of his English, man. That's his second
language. Dude, I didn't make fun of his English. Look.
You were like, his English sucks, and it's kind of like, well, yeah, because, I mean...
Isn't he from Poland?
Yeah, look,
yeah.
Havoc, we don't mean you any harm, man. You're a cool guy. You send us lots of cool shit. You send us all kinds of cool info. We're cool.
We come in peace.
But, I mean, just straight up, the email he sent me, I couldn't read it. I wasn't trying to make fun of you or anything. I mean, it's just the English was too bad for me. I couldn't read it. I wasn't trying to, like, put you down or anything, man. Havoc, you're a good guy. You know, okay, we've addressed that. You know, I really don't think there's any more to it than that, than he just misunderstood what I was trying to say back there in episode, 26. Wasn't trying to put you down, Havoc. You're a cool guy.
That's beautiful, man. I'm getting reclapped.
Yeah, fuck you, Lucky.
Anyways.
You're such a dick.
Oh, you know what? Fuck you guys. Thank you for opening up the show. This show's yours.
You were looking to scenery default.
Anyways.
Too lucky, don't worry.
We're going to talk about some freaking. I got some show notes here. But,
what?
Doug. I printed up some little show notes.
You got show notes?
Wow.
Yeah, like me. We call them quote unquote show notes. They don't actually have any content in them. They're just topics. They're just topics so that we can like ramble on and stuff. But
I see.
Doug, you had brought up some things. We didn't know whether or not you were even going to be on the show. I didn't know how the hell we were going to stream this shit.
I had no idea either.
Well, you had brought up some topics that you wanted to discuss on tonight's show. Do you want to go right into the freaking, or do you want me to?
Is there anything else that you want to talk about? Because I do want to get into freaking, but, I mean, this is going to take quite some time. You know, this is going to be possibly the brains of the show here. So, I mean, do you got any news stories or anything to talk about? Zane Dog, do you have any, like, you know, family crisis you want to talk about, anything like that?
And no more porn stories. Actually, you know what? Yeah, I'll slip in this. I have a quick story. This should only take a couple minutes. Apparently, the FTC has received 429,000 complaints against telemarketers from consumers who are supposedly on the do not call list. So I thought that was kind of newsworthy. I thought that was worth mention because, well, is it working? 429 complaints that have been filed, and you know how people are. They don't file complaints. Most people still just hang up on them. So that's probably a small fraction of the people who are actually still getting called, of course.
How many complaints did you say were filed? I thought there was a couple thousand.
It was 429,000, almost half a million.
Okay, yeah.
Now, and here's the really funny part is, the point is, you know, most people don't bother to file an official complaint out of pure laziness or apathy or whatever. But what I thought was really the funniest part of this was they broke down at least the top two they mentioned in this article. The number one company that, let's see, almost 11,000 of these calls were from something called the Credit Foundation of America.
Yeah.
They had 11,000. But number two with the most complaints against them for violating the do not call list is
our good friend
at AT&T.
Yes, a good
5,000 against them. They are number two on the list.
5,000 complaints, you said.
Right, and again, that's a fraction of how many people they actually call. That's just, you know, probably less than 1%, obviously, of people who actually got called.
Yeah, because people don't want to sit there and waste their time writing a letter and waste a stamp and all this shit, you know.
Yeah.
Though I think you can file online, so maybe.
Yeah, if you could go to the website, I haven't gotten too many calls, and frankly, I kind of like them when I get the calls. So, but
I had a landline for a short time. It's disconnected now, but as we found out right before the show when Doug was supposed to call me on it, I had a landline for a short time, and I had a caller ID service on it, and I got all kinds of telemarketing calls, and. One of the people that called didn't even send a caller ID through, and I was like, what the hell? Like, you guys aren't complying. What the hell, you know?
No, they're not going to, you know, people are going to...
They don't care. They just ward aisle away. That's all they're doing.
Absolutely.
That's illegal. They shouldn't be doing that. They can't ward aisle.
And all they got to do is they'll be gone before any complaints come through. I mean, these big companies like AT&T, they should be a little bit more careful, you would think. Ironic that AT&T is violating it, and they're the ones running a lot of the phone lines.
Kind of like that,
yeah,
right?
But the thing is that it might not. I mean, AT&T, yes, they are the Death Star, but to put a little glimmer of hope that maybe it's not AT&T. You know, it could be a subcontractor, like one of these companies that they just contract out to get new sales. You know.
Yeah, I guess it could be. But they're aware of it.
Daily, the Daily Bulletin is a newspaper around here, and no matter how many times before the do not call list, no matter how many times you told them, take me off your call list, they would always call back. And the reason is because the Daily Bulletin hires a lot of call centers to place these calls, and they're all different companies. So one company would take you off the list, but another company that represents the Daily Bulletin would call you right back the next week.
Right, but you know, they need to still be held ultimately responsible for what they do with their outsourced companies. If they're going to outsource telemarketing to some other place or some other company or even a division, they are ultimately should be held responsible for it. They need to tell these people, they're turning a blind eye to what they're doing. They know that it's going on, but they're trying to say, listen, it's not us, it's our outsourced people. Well, guess what?
Yeah.
You should be held responsible for their actions as well.
Yeah. Well, that's just how it goes now.
Remember that Verizon scam that was on the news where there's that one area code or that one exchange where it's going to charge you money like a 900 number, and Verizon was trying to fight this, but it was like Verizon's exchange?
Yeah, that exchange that was out in New York. It was a Verizon exchange in New York. It was like a 976 exchange, except it was something else that was only for Verizon. Yeah, and Verizon was bitching about it, but it was their own exchange. Did not make any sense at all.
I don't know.
Telephone companies.
What are you going to do? Anyway, that's all I had as far as news. I knew that would be kind of quick. Thought that interesting.
I had a couple more little news topics before we get into this. One, caller ID name. I was Googling on news.google.com. I think I found this in, like, the Kansas City Star or something.
Yeah, this was interesting, yeah.
Yeah, apparently Sprint and Bell South, I don't know how many years this has been going on, but Sprint and Bell South have been denying each other access to their caller ID name databases of their customers. So basically, if a Sprint person called someone in Bell South territory, the name would just say private or out of area instead of their name. And vice versa, Bell South called someone in Sprint territory, and they basically both of them filed lawsuits against each other, and they pretty much came to a mutual agreement. I think last week that they're now just going to let both of them have access to both those name databases. Which in the newspaper it says for every transaction where a name inquiry has to happen, which on every phone call, SS7 has to do a name inquiry to that database. And I think each company charges, in the newspaper it says they charge a couple pennies for that name. But in reality, I went to Bell South's website, and I went to the CLEC, CNAM service lookup, which allows CLECs to use their database. And I think it's like a fraction of a penny to look up a name. I mean, it was really ridiculous. But, yeah, so they're now allowing each other to look at their name databases. It's really kind of stupid. But
that's really, really, really stupid.
Yeah, can you imagine that? Like, you're subscribing. You know, it used to be you could only get caller ID number, and then caller ID number and name was a separate pay-for service. You had to pay, like, $2 more to get the name.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, imagine you're paying for the name now, and you're not even getting it because they can't access each other's data.
Caller ID name on strike.
Yeah, exactly. CNAM. Anyway, that was one of the stories. And another story, which Stank Dog had referred me to, was apparently there's some Bluetooth cellular worm going around. I don't know what the hell that's about.
Yeah, actually, I didn't have a whole lot of time to read up on that one myself, but it only affects, it was only affecting one particular phone, if I remember right.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I didn't understand how you can get a worm through Bluetooth. Don't Bluetooth devices have to pair with each other? Like, you have to allow another Bluetooth device to, like, access your phone? You can't just... You know, you can't just, like, log into your phone. You have to actually, like, accept that person or that Bluetooth device. So
That's the way I thought as well, but they also mentioned something about, I don't have a Bluetooth phone to really play and test with some of the stuff, but I think it said something about an SIS file was sent or something like that. Okay, here it is. It's Nokia 60 series are the only ones that are affected by this, apparently. Nokia 60 series that consumes power and shortens the reload cycle. It replicates itself via Bluetooth as a .sis file.
Yeah, but you would... well, I guess maybe the way that would work is if you and your friend had already paired each other, and then someone sends an SMS message with this SIS file attached to it, and then once you go over to your friend's house and your phone's in your pocket and so is his, and both of
them... Well, wait a minute. This might explain it a little bit more. Not only the effect of what it does, it's because it doesn't actually transfer. Now that I went to Symantec and looked at their description of it, they're saying that the worm repeatedly sends itself to the first Bluetooth-enabled device it can find, regardless of the type of device. For example, even a Bluetooth-enabled printer will be attacked if it is within range. The worm spreads as a SIS file, which is installed into the apps directory. There is no payload apart from the vastly shortened battery life caused by the constant scanning for Bluetooth-enabled devices. So that's what shortens the battery, and that's actually kind of a neat idea. It's very bad. I'm not telling anybody to go out and try that, but that's kind of a neat thought process that it's actually the damage done shorting the battery because it's constantly polling. That's kind of a neat form of attack.
Yeah, but I mean, but technically, I mean, all the worm does is spread itself, and it doesn't even do any damage except for draining your battery.
And drain your battery, exactly. It says, all right, here's it displays a message, displays a message similar to the following, asking the user to accept the message from a particular device. Receive message via Bluetooth from, and then the device name. The user will be notified that they've received a new message. The user will be prompted with a message similar to the following. Application is untrusted and may have problems. Install only if you trust provider. If the user chooses yes, they will be prompted to install the worm. So they're actually, they deserve it. They deserve it, because if they're accepting a file from somebody that they don't know and installing it, that's no different than the way all these other email viruses that are get spread. They send an .exe file that says click on this, you know, this cool screensaver or this cool whatever, and dumb people click on it and say, okay, that's what this is doing. So people are accepting it and saying yes to go and install this. I don't know how to pronounce it, C-A-R-I-B-E, Caribe.
Yeah.
So these people are being presented with an option that says, do you want to install it? And the morons are saying yes.
Yeah, and but the problem is that it may be looking like it is coming from a trusted source because it's coming from your friend's cell phone, and you might be like, ooh, that's a cool ringtone. And then, you know, you find out, no, it's not a ringtone. My battery's fucking dead.
And the other thing is, depending on how fast it drains your battery, I wonder if people would even notice it. They might just think their batteries are getting bad or something.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Actually, that's pretty interesting, I have to say.
Yeah. Cellular worms, beware.
Welcome to 2004. The cell phone viruses are here.
I knew they would be. I mean... in fact, let me just tell you this, Snake. My Bluetooth phone that I bought, the Sony Ericsson T616, I think that thing is totally Java powered, and like, you know, all the menus are like ran by like Java or some other like shitty software. And I received a call from Kirst.
You're gonna get email for that comment, by the way.
Huh?
You're going to get email for that comment, by the way.
Oh, yeah, of course. I know it's not running Java because I have to. When I load a game, it, like, loads Java with the game. But I'm just saying, it's running some shitty software on it. But anyways, when I got a call from Kirst, I hit yes to accept the call, and the menu was still saying, do you want to accept this call? And I wasn't connected. My phone froze. I swear to God, I was like, oh, my God, this phone software is worse than Windows.
Like, blue screen of death.
Yeah, the blue screen of death for my cell phone. What kind of shit is that?
Oh,
we got to inform the audience that, like, your cell phone's just gay.
Yeah, your cell phone fucking rocks.
Dude, your cell phone is like so goddamn tiny. The buttons are like so small, and the screen.
The little square one, the little rectangular shaped one.
They're like tiny little dots. You gotta get a toothpick to like dial the number off of it. And then the one thing is the speaker on it for the actual not the speaker phone, but the actual speaker just is really weak. And the microphone is like up to your cheek on that thing.
And that thing's just shit. You're just jealous, Doug.
And the camera phone sucks too, by the way.
Yeah, whatever. Enough about my cell phone. And
I'm looking up your cell phone now, thanks to
Yeah, so like. Call Lucky Cell Phone today to freeze the cell phone.
Yeah.
I'm gonna send you an attachment. Trust it and install it because it comes from me.
Okay.
Warning: this file may contain viruses.
Shit! What time is it? I don't even have a clock in this frickin'.
7:19 Pacific. 10:19 Eastern. For those who don't know, like Lucky over here.
Yeah, I'm a noob, dude.
Time zones.
Yeah. Well, other than
you know what? Wait. All right, I'm getting a lot of messages about this. All right, a lot of people are confused because they're hearing two different things on both Rant Radio and DDP Hack Radio.
What do you mean they're hearing two
they're
different
like,
things?
Am I listening to Binary Revolution or Default Radio?
Wait, what's going on?
They're not probably not going to be in sync, or they're not... I don't know how it's going to end up sounding, actually.
We should half the show is going to be on your end, the other half is going to be on our end. Or no,
well,
better yet, we'll just use my version, but whenever you talk, we'll use your version so you sound clear.
All right, well, here's the explanation. We had some technical difficulties. We made some changes on the server end from DDP Hack Radio, and... we have not quite yet configured all the software on our client ends to stream it. So basically, we are streaming from two separate locations to two separate servers. So you're going to find some synchronization problems. You're going to find some discrepancies here and there. For the most part, it should be knock on wood, it should be the same content with different voices louder than the others, because it's probably, since I'm streaming here, you're going to hear me louder on Hack Radio. But on the other end of the line, you're going to hear those guys louder because they're on the other end where it's being recorded. So
yeah, pretty much. Snake Dogg is streaming the DDP, so he's on his normal microphone, and we're on his speaker. And then on Rant Radio, you're hearing it the way the default radio normally is, where it's all on the phone line. All
so
of
you should definitely go over to Rant Radio and listen to it tonight if you're having problems with the Hack Radio server.
Yeah, the MP3 will be cleared up along with the differences of the intro music. We will be using Banana Phone.
We're gonna put Banana Phone on her intro.
Banana Phone.
You gotta admit that song is just badass.
Yes, it is. It rocks, man. Ozzy should do a version of that.
You should slow it down and see what.
Banana Phone.
Banana Phone.
Oh God.
Oh man.
Ring ring ring.
Damn it. All right, anyway.
No, wait, Lucky, you know how in the KMFDN song that we use in the beginning where it cuts into, like, a recording clip? We'll just have it, like, banana phone, and then right to the phone.
You got to hold your promise to that one, Doug.
We got to do that now. Oh, man. You know what? We haven't been getting any email this week. I don't know, like... All the emails being forwarded to...
That's because you fucking changed the DNS servers.
Well, no, usually we get, like, a whole bunch of emails about, like, the previous episode. Like, I've only gotten, like, two emails. And I think they were just spam, and it went to the Gmail. So I don't know what's going on.
Oh, we get spam in our Gmail?
Well, actually, no, I'm sorry. The Gmail went to the Linux mail, but the Gmail account, I think, had one new message from someone. You know what? Let me read that, because maybe it was actually something worth talking about.
What are you talking about changing the DNS servers?
The DNS was all down.
He was fucking around with the network, and he changed the DNS servers to the wrong thing on defaultradio.com, and it went down, and then we didn't get any email for like a day.
Oh, I was going to say, you shouldn't have to change any of that kind of stuff. You should be all ready to go.
It was all ready
to
go. Oh, it's that guy that talked about Hack TV. I think his handle is Scream. It says, I would like to say, what the fuck is up with Hack TV?
Who said that?
Hacking a car?
It?
Fuck that shit.
Oh, yeah.
And he gives a big fuck you to Tron for some reason, so I don't know who this guy is. His handle is Scream9.
No. We ain't going to give a fuck you to Tron, because he scanned out all those loops on that FAQ. If you go, go to alt.freakingnewsgroup. Tron posted a working loop. So I'm giving Tron shouts for that today.
For this week.
I don't understand that.
Stank Dog, this week it's going to be a thank you to Tron, a big shout, and then the next week it's going to be a fuck you, and it's going to be every other day.
Now, wait a minute. Let me understand. He went through a text file that already had all the numbers on it, and he just called them up to see and said, okay, here's the one that's still working. So
yeah.
I could have trained a monkey to do that. Should I give him shouts out, too?
Man,
didn't find any new numbers.
You understand, dude. These numbers were long thought to be not working and just dead, and no one dealt with them anymore.
Are these the SoCal loops?
No, dude. This is a real loop.
Oh, the real loops. Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm not sure, but I haven't tested it with a calling card or anything, but this loop might not even supervise. So go check that out on alt.freaking. I think it's like 517 was the area code of that loop. But, yeah, you can talk through on it and everything. It's great.
Okay.
What was that?
Nothing.
What?
Anyways, what the hell are we doing this show for? Oh, yeah, freaking.
Yeah, freaking. This is Doug's part of the show.
Doug's part. The hell?
Yeah, take it away, Doug. I don't got any notes in front of me.
Well, shit, you know what the hell we were going to talk about. We were doing this all week. We were dealing with ANI and Vonage and Voice Pulse and the other ones. Packet 8. We're going to talk about ANI.
Packet 8.
What?
I wasn't doing shit with Packet 8.
You were using Packet 8 because you love them so much, don't you, liar?
Oh, yeah. The Packet 8.
Anyways.
On what? On my account that has like a $324 balance still? They won't even do the courtesy of closing the account and just setting the balance to zero. I don't know what the hell's wrong with them. But anyway.
They're the best service ever. Anyways, there's a lot of confusion going on with AT&T, the AT&T operators, 1010, 2880, ANI, ANAX, all of this, the real time, and the II, and Flex, which is actually called call party number, which I don't know where that came from. So, hey. Who called it Flex ANI, by the way? Was that you?
Well, I called it Flex ANI, and so did a few other people, according to Strom, because I tried to take full responsibility for that, like, you know, that I just always assumed that it was Flex ANI because, you know, the 800-555-1140 ANAC reads your II digits, and then it reads the call party number. And, you know, I had always thought because of that whenever anyone talked about Flex ANI, that they were referring to call party number, because I never even heard it called call party number, you know?
Right.
And but according to Strom, other people in the community before me were even calling that Flex ANI.
Hmm.
So, I don't know. But to clear up the confusion, anytime, if you go to VerizonFears.com, I haven't updated my site in a long time. If you go on any websites that are hosting my old text files, anywhere you see a reference to Flex ANI, you can just replace that with CPN, call party number, because that's what we're talking about. Your call party number is your actual phone number that will show up on caller ID, whether or not it's blocked. Even when you block your caller ID, your call party number still gets sent through also. And, of course, your ANI does too, which generally your ANI and your call party number are going to be the same thing if you're calling from a landline. But as it turns out, with the advent of cell phones, voice over IP, hotel PBXs, and things of that nature, of course the ANI, which is your billing number, where the phone company actually bills the long-distance calls and whatnot, you know, they can't bill it to your voice over IP line because, you know, if you're making a long distance call with AT&T on your voice over IP line, AT&T can't then try and bill this phone number that's a Vonage number, because Vonage doesn't work like a phone company. They're not going to send you a bill in the mail,
right.
So they can't bill you an AT&T standard rate. And in fact, because you're using Vonage, even though Vonage uses AT&T as their carrier,
no, they don't.
You're supposed to get an unlimited long distance.
They don't use AT&T. They use Global Crossing.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was talking about VoicePulse. I got VoicePulse uses AT&T, right?
Right.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So, anyways, that's the point. You know, Global Crossing can't try and like backcharge Vonage and then have in turn Vonage charge you. So instead, Vonage and these voice over IP companies, the ANI that is sent out is no ANI, so that no phone number gets charged. Basically,
right.
It just sends out your area code or the area code of Vonage, which is 718 in New York. And that's why when you call up, if you use Vonage and you call up 800-CALL-ATT, you'll get an operator asking where you're calling from, right?
Right. Now, they used to, when Vonage first was out, the ANI, which is the real-time ANI, was a 646 number, a full 10-digit number, and that's why back then when you used to call 1-800-CALL-ATT, it would act like it would just work on a payphone or a landline. But now they switched it over where your II digit is 2-3 and you don't have a real ANI anymore. It's like it's just a 3-digit number now, which is probably the area code now, I think it is. And
yeah.
The call party number is always going to be your actual Vonage number. No matter even if you block your caller ID, they actually know how to send out a private tag to block your caller
ID.
Yeah,
they put a private tag in the actual call setup. So your call party number still gets sent to 800 numbers and other phone numbers that can receive that type of information.
Right.
ANI is there is no ANI, and that's
right.
Why if you call 800-CALL-ATT, which they deal with collect calls and things of that nature, they're not going to put a spoofed caller ID as the billing number for a collect call. They put the call as where it came from, which is New York. So they just put 718-000000 on collect calls placed from there.
Right. Now, the same thing with VoicePulse, too. VoicePulse is real-time ANI, I believe, is like 510 or some three-digit code. And when you call AT&T, they don't know where you're calling from. I could call 1-800-OPERATOR or 1-800-CALL-AT&T, and I can ask where am I calling from, and they're just going to say, we don't know. You got to call back in. Are you in a hotel phone? They're going to make up something, like, because they don't know where you are or where you are. They're confused.
Yeah.
And,
it's just, and they don't even know what voice over IP is, which just makes it even more confusing.
Yeah, and if you call through, we mentioned this number before, the 435 dial tone, where it transmits if you're not passing an ANI, it's going to give the 435 number. When you call AT&T with that, with VoIP, then it'll pass the 435 number. Then they're going to say, oh, you're calling from Utah, you know, because that's what your ANI is passing through as now.
Yeah, but if you call an ANAC, ANACs apparently, a lot of them don't even read ANI. They'll say, like, for example, on 800-555-1140, it says the Annie is, but it's not really the Annie that they're reading. What they're reading is the Flex Annie II digits followed by your call party number, not your ANI.
Right. So I don't know why they say ANI. I don't know. There's a lot of unexplained things, such as the II digits, the 2-3, which is either unknown, or the 00, which is POTS, plain old telephone system, the cellular ones, the hotel, the COCOT, you know, all these II digits,
yeah.
Yeah, no one really knows what they really stand for. There's been different terms, like I used to thought it was information integers.
Oh, yeah, No one even knows what II stands for. That's great, too, and we'll talk about that a little bit later.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Well, different phone companies call them different things.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So,
it's just crazy. And I think that's where a lot of the confusion comes in, is where when ANACs that are reading call party number instead of ANI, and they're referring to the call party number as ANI, you know, everyone's getting confused, and it's just, you know, the thing is like ANI is an interchangeable term in the industry. Like, it
right.
can mean call party number, or it can mean ANI. But
right.
Technically speaking, you know, you're not talking about the ANI. So.
But what I do want to get into is with VoIP and ANI. With VoIP, with any voice over IP, and I mean like the three or four main ones, AT&T, CallVantage, Packet8 even, Vonage, and VoicePulse, there is no ANI with VoIP. There is no real-time ANI. The real-time ANI is going to be just a different number, which so any 800 number you call, they're not going to know where you're calling from. Now, with Vonage, the call party number will always go through. Even if you star 67, your call party number is not going to be affected at all. So Vonage does it legitimately. They act like a landline. They know what they're doing. Now, with VoicePulse and Packet8, if you block your caller ID, whether it's *67 or whatever, they don't just block the caller ID. They actually block the call party number to a where they're located. It's like a 212
number. Yeah, they just change the call party number altogether because they don't know how to set up in their call setup how to add a private tag to the call message. So instead
right.
of adding a private tag, they just change your call party number to something else. So your caller ID doesn't show up. But the problem is, instead of private, when you place an outgoing call, now it shows out of area. And that
yeah.
just annoys people even more.
Because that way you can get through those privacy, or not privacy managers, anonymous call rejections on people's landlines, because those only look for private or anonymous. They don't look for unknown or out of the area.
Yeah.
So,
exactly.
But the weird thing with voice pulse, so packet A, yeah, they always pass unknown if you block a caller ID. But voice pulse, they do change your call party number to this unknown 212 number, but they also pass a private tag, so they're doing both. It's really weird. Like, *67 makes you private, and it also blocks your call party number. So I don't know what that's all about. Voice pulse
yeah,
is just... Yeah.
Yeah, voice pulse is weird.
Yeah,
but,
they have a lot of weird...
Hey, it's cool, though. At least, you know what? I like that it also changes your call party number.
Yeah. Now, the way... a lot of people want to know the 800 all fours, which is MCI's little readback number. They get call
yeah,
party number if you're not but if you're not passing a real call party number, they're going to go for the ANI.
Yeah, if you're passing like a if you're passing a call party number that's like only three digits, like an area code, or if you're only passing anything but a 10-digit call party number, then it reads you the ANI instead.
Right, and if the ANI is messed up, like if the ANI is only three digits, then it's going to read, shit, the hell if I know, it's going to read like, it's going to like fake it. It's going to say like 51212 or something.
Yeah, it says like, I think it says 718-555-1212 if it doesn't get call party number or ANI. And
yeah.
In fact, I believe in order for it to read the call party number, your phone number had to be unblocked also. Because I know when I call with Vonage with my caller ID blocked, even though it's getting my Vonage call party number, because the caller ID was blocked, it says, no, I'm not going to trust this. I'll read the ANI instead. And it reads
yeah,
off.
Yeah, you're right
Vonage
about that, actually.
ANI.
Yeah, you're right about that. I think it gets caller ID. It doesn't even get call party number then. It probably gets caller ID, and then it gets the ANI.
Yeah, so MCI basically looks for two things. It looks for caller ID. If it's unblocked, it'll read that number. And if caller ID is blocked, or if the CPN is less than 10 digits, then it goes ahead and reads the ANI. And if there's no ANI, then it just reads some random number.
So the thing that a lot of Rant Radio listeners, because I know there's a lot out there that are probably new to freaking, the only thing they think is probably, oh, well, I could just, you know, call someone and *69, it's going to block me completely. No, that's not true. There's actually two different sets of numbers to be traced back to you, the call party number and then the actual ANI, the real-time number where you're actually calling from. So when you're calling from a landline and you're just doing *67 to call someone you think you're never going to get traced because it's not going to show up on their caller ID box, that's totally wrong. That's why they have services such as Call Trace, which only get the call party number. The only time ANI is actually ever used for is if you're doing some serious shit maybe and billing purposes.
Yeah, yeah, and like I said, ANI, a lot of people used to use ANI because it was more reliable, you know, and now it's just not reliable, so people rely on call party number even though it's spoofable.
Yeah, and call party number is especially spoofable. We told you on a few episodes ago with Voice Pulse and combining some features on how to spoof caller ID, that spoofs call party number. That doesn't spoof ANI because the ANI is always going to be Voice Pulse's little 501 or whatever they give for the ANI. But the call party number and the caller ID, the thing that most people actually use, will always be spoofable. I don't see it possible yet to spoof
ANI. And in fact,
ANI.
I don't think, like I've talked about spoofing ANI in some of my articles, but whenever I refer to that, I think I'm only referring to call party number, spoofing call party number. I think there was only one legitimate time where I may have spoofed ANI, and that was back on the old AT&T network where when you called up and they say, you know, AT&T, what number are you calling from, please? Now, remember, AT&T only looks at ANI. They don't care what the call party number is.
Right.
So back then when you used to be able to say, yeah, I'm calling from blah, 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 could you place a call to this 800 number? AT&T back then could only place calls to 800 numbers that were within the AT&T network. It had to be an 800 number that the responsible organization for that 800 number was AT&T. So back then, and because you're dealing with, again, you're dealing with billing, you could tell the operator, yeah, I'm calling from this, and she'd input that as your ANI. And if you got her to place a call to an 800 number, I believe that your ANI would actually be spoofed. And that's what I believe there was an exploit back then where you could call up 800 Bell South through AT&T, and they would see your ANI as that particular phone number, and Bell South was stupid enough to bill to that number. Well, I mean, not stupid enough, because obviously I think that was the one and only time that ANI could truly be spoofed was when you could just opt-divert to AT&T and tell them, yeah, I'm calling from this number, call here. And now, obviously,
right.
If AT&T doesn't receive your phone number, they'll input whatever number you give them, but it's only for it's like only for that call. If they place an 800 number call out from that call center, instead of showing that as your ANI, now it just shows, you know, the area code for that call center. It doesn't spoof your ANI anymore.
Right.
So, I mean, and I believe that's the one and only time that ANI has ever truly been spoofed. And it'll probably never happen again.
There's things that, you know, the people of, you know, Rant Radio that want to get into this or whatever, the easy numbers, which, of course, can be found on the website, the number 1-800-555-1140, which is what gives you the call party number of where you're calling from. Now, if you call from a landline, it's obviously going to give you your phone number. Even if you star 67 to that 800 number, it, of course, gives you your phone number. So blocking your call ID doesn't do anything except block it to someone's house.
Are you, like, downloading something there, Doug? You're, like, breaking up, like, hardcore.
Your voice over TV is
not... Yeah, your voice over TV is not working.
You know what? Someone just sent me, like, an email, and I think I was retrieving it. Hold up.
Yeah,
you're still breaking up, dog.
Seriously, you're like Max Headroom.
Can you hear me now?
No.
I'll call back in.
What do you mean you'll call back in? Oh my god. All right, Doug. So Doug apparently is going to be calling back in. And yeah, but. You know, and I just wanted to kind of clear that up for the community. I know it's kind of confusing at first, but maybe you'll want to replay this episode a couple times. Doug, are you back on with us?
Damn it.
Hello. Yeah, you're right here. Hello. Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah.
All right. Is everything all right?
No.
No. Someone's pinging you hardcore, man.
Somebody's dialing.
Oh, you know what? I know what it is.
TV.
Anyways, yeah, but like I was saying, yeah, you might just want to replay this episode a couple times, see if you can get the concepts of ANI and call party number, and the fact that a lot of people call party number ANI or, quote, flex Annie, when it's really call party number, and that's what we're going to be referring to it as such, and especially at DEF CON and whatnot when we do our little speech there. Woozle. Dude, what the hell? Like, is Doug, like, calling back in? What the fuck?
I don't know what he's doing. But speaking of your DEF CON presentation, why don't you give a little teaser, a little overview of what you're going to talk about specifically? Obviously, you can't patient, but
I didn't want to give a little bit of a teaser because in a few short days to come, there will be a teaser. And everyone will know what I'm talking about when it happens. I'm not gonna talk about what this teaser is right now. But there will be a short
teaser. I think it is.
Teaser. Huh?
Is it what I think it is?
Yes, it is. And that will be the teaser for our presentation. I'm not gonna talk about it right now. In fact,
tell people where they're gonna hear the teaser.
Yeah. Well, Doug is the whole sole purpose of this episode for, like, trying to clean up the whole Flex Annie isn't Flex Annie, it's call party number, and try and clean up all the text
okay.
files that I miswrote. So, You know, I didn't even want to do that until DEF CON. But so this episode and what's about to appear will be a little bit of a teaser. All right, Doug, are you here?
Testing 1, 2, 3.
Yes, you're fine now.
I found out what the problem was, yeah. But anyways, what the hell were you talking about? Oh, yeah, I was thinking about the ANAC numbers. Okay, so ANAC, yeah, ANAC was what reads your number. 800-555-1140 is the call party number, ANAC, which will read your call party number no matter what, unless you're calling from, you know, some weird VoIP thing. Then there's 800-225-5313, which we've given on the show before, which will read your actual ANI. That's the real-time ANI, the shit that's used for billing purposes. That's what AT&T reads. That's the actual number that you're passing down to your line. And then is there anything else that we need to give out?
800 all fours.
Yeah, that's the MCI one we're talking about, where it looks for your caller ID. If you're blocking your caller ID, then it goes right for the ANI.
Yep. And if you can't get either of those, then it just reads off some random number, some 555-1212.
Yeah, if you're really messed up, that's what it'll probably do. And of course, yeah, to divert, how to block your number from a landline? Well, I guess there's no really way to do that long distancely, unless you have like a calling card of some sort. But the easy way to do it for toll-free numbers is using 1010-2880, and then you dial the 800 number off that. That will not charge you at all.
Yeah, well,
a lot of people think that.
Yeah,
that will.
There's really no way to do it long distance except for as you said, calling cards and things of that nature. And I mean, really, in reality, though, I mean, when you don't want to show your number to someone, it's usually going to be someone local, where you can just call your local zero op.
Right, you can call your zero op.
Special, or you're visually impaired.
Yeah, all you got to do is just say you're special, and they'll do it for you.
Yeah, and they'll just put the local call right through. Sometimes they charge you for it. Oh well, you know.
No, they don't charge you. Just say you're special, you're blind. They can't charge you.
No, they can charge you for local calls, for operator-completed calls. In fact,
Verizon, they can.
Yeah, I called Verizon about this already, and I wanted to see if someone visually impaired in my family, if they could put a flag on my line telling the operator that I was visually impaired. And they said, yeah, you just have to have your family member get a note from the doctor and fax that over to us, and we'd add that feature to your line. However, local calls are 35 cents, flat rate, 35 cents a local call every time the blind person places a call.
All right, Lucky. When you call a zero operator and all you say is you're special, with Verizon, local Verizon, they will always pass through. They don't ask questions. The same thing
they
with
put
even
it through, but then you get a little toll on your bill, man. You can ask my mom. I have got many operator-assisted charges.
Wait, hold on. I'm confused. All right, if you say you're special with the toll-free, because they'll say they can't dial toll-free, but if you say you're special, they'll do it with no charge. But for local, you got to say that you're visually impaired and you're having trouble placing the call, and then they'll do it for you. And to make even double sure, just say, will I be charged for this? And they'll probably say, of course not, because you're blind and you're retarded and you can't see the phone, so obviously they're not going to charge it for you.
Yeah, well, I'm just saying, I never even try to go for that, because I'll pay the quarter or whatever, because usually it's just someone with anonymous call rejection that I'd call them direct if they had it turned off.
Yeah.
You know? But, and I don't even have to worry about that anymore anyways, because I have voice over IP and ways of spoofing call party number and all this
stuff. Yeah, spoofing caller ID is in a couple years, I'm going to tell you, everyone's going to be doing it. They're going to have, like, features on cell phones where it's like, where do you want to call from, you know?
Well, I mean, and that's how it should be anyways. If you think about it, everyone's into their little text messaging era and everything. But, you know, whenever you get a text message, when you look at it and it says it's from the cell phone number, it doesn't mean it's from that cell phone number. You can go to the cellular website, put in any number you want as where the text message is coming from, hit send on the internet, and you get, hey, woo, I got a text message from my girlfriend, you know? So if people are relying on whatever they see anyways, you know, you might as well just be able to spoof your number. Hello?
Yeah, what do you say about that, Snake Dog?
Yeah, sounds good to me.
Cool. Saint Talk says okay.
Not even listening.
That's my job, is to just agree with you guys.
I'm not going to get in the old argument with you again about caller ID. We'll do that on the default radio 2.0 series or whatever. We should mention about that, by the way, like the plans for default radio.
Oh, yeah. You know what? I'm just going to settle this right here and now, Doug. When your fucking phone rings, it doesn't matter who's calling you. Whatever it says on that ID is whatever the person wants to say.
You know what, though? I have no problem with that, but you want to know something? I don't have to answer the phone if I don't want to.
I understand that.
And you get offended if someone doesn't answer it, if your caller ID doesn't show up, so you get a little bitchy offended, so you just spoof someone's number, because, oh, he'll pick up if that person calls him.
Yeah?
Just admit, you're a baby.
No.
If I don't want to answer anonymous...
I figure if you're by the phone, then you should answer it.
Not if I don't want to talk to you.
Well, whatever.
That's why we have ringers. That's why we can turn our ringers on. We have Do Not Disturb, and that's why cell phones can turn off, is because we just don't feel like talking to you.
Yeah, well, if you don't feel like talking to me, turn your ringer off or answer the phone and tell me I don't want to talk to you and then hang up.
I'm going to do that every time you call now. I don't want to talk to you, just you, Lucky.
You should. There's no point in not answering the phone. Because that's my number showing up doesn't mean it's someone else who's trying to call you with an emergency. Okay, you know.
Leave a message and I'll get back
to you. So answer the phone and hear the voice at the other end of the line before you make your decision of I'm not going to answer it.
Until caller ID spoofing is on, like, where grandmas can do it, then I'm going to look at caller ID and just assume.
Grandmothers can do it.
No, they can't.
Yes, they can.
All right, if there's any grandmas out there that can spoof caller ID,
all your grandmother has to do is go and buy a prepaid cell phone. Now it's a different number.
Oh, my God. I'm talking about, like, actual spoofing.
Doesn't matter because the way you look at things, you only avoid if it's a certain number or if it's out of area.
No, actually, I only...
If it's any different number, you're like, oh, shit, someone else.
No, because I only answer the phones if I know who it is. If it's my dad calling, I'm going to answer it. If it's you calling, I'm going to answer it. But if it's some unknown number, I'm going to assume it's either a telemarketer or someone that I just don't need to talk to. And if I get a message saying, oh, hey,
assumption is the mother of all fuck-ups. And I think you should know that, Doug.
Oh, shut up. You use anonymous call rejection, and you were like, you're a hypocrite.
Hey, I only put anonymous call rejection on because I was doing testing with it, and then I forgot to turn it off.
Give me like 3 months?
And then I turned it off, and I left it off until today when my landline got disconnected.
Now that's good radio.
Stank, don't you know someone that just uses caller ID and doesn't answer unless they know who it is? There's a lot of people that do that, and there's a lot of people that don't get owned by that. The only reason why it's going to happen to me is because I know someone who can spoof, that being you.
Yeah, whatever.
All right, if you're dealing with some lawyer, or not lawyer.
Yeah, the only reason my voicemail is going to get owned is because I know someone that knows all the default passcodes.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, okay, Doug. All right.
Yeah, exactly, though. You can leave your shit on default if you want. Just make sure you don't know anyone that has a default password.
Oh, God, shut up!
Because if you know someone, if you know Lucky225, change your password. Right, St. Doug?
Yeah, sure.
What fucking time is it?
I don't know. It's time to end the show.
No, it's not, is it?
Like 7:54.
Are you serious?
Yes.
A little time left.
I thought we were going to talk about, like, hope and whatnot. You know, Stank Dog speaking there.
Well, you're speaking at DEF CON. Why don't you talk about that one instead?
Because, man, I told you there's going to be a little teaser coming up this week, and people can rely on that for their satisfaction or whatever.
I don't think anyone really cares.
Yeah, that too.
I
saw something on the hell on Slashdot. Someone said that they wanted to. They were looking forward to attending your presentation.
Well, that makes one of us.
What the hell? You're not even looking forward to going to your own speech,
dude. What are you talking about, Stink Dog? People like you. I'm like lucky to do five over here.
Yeah. I'm just kidding. Actually, I'm looking forward to it.
Asshole.
Nobody,
you know,
likes
going to be an interesting event.
You talk about your speech or what?
Huh? Yeah, I mean, I don't know what to talk about. It's going to be, you know, the AS400 system and some detailed how it works and why it works this way and some, you know, areas of vulnerability or possible vulnerability. It's actually a pretty secure system in general, and it ships that way, so they don't really have defaults of any kind. So, you know, it's going to be very dry technical stuff, and my worry is simply that it's basically the presentation is a lot of screenshots, a lot of technical talk, and it's really more geared for like a class. You know, I could teach a class on it over a course of a couple of days.
Right.
You know, and I'm trying to compress it, squeeze it all into 1 hour, and I think it's going to end up being kind of dry material. However, I like that kind of stuff myself, so I'm just hoping that there are other people out there that are going to be interested in that. Kind of technical, because I'm also looking at some of the other presentations, and there's very little freaking stuff out there.
Mm-hmm.
There's a little bit of technical things. Some of the technical stuff looks pretty interesting, but there's a lot of I don't even know what to describe it or classify it as. There's a lot of I don't know, political stuff that just frankly is not going to interest me a whole lot.
Well, yeah. But you know, the different people have different interests, and I think you'll find, Stank Dog, that a lot of the people that go to this will share the same interest as you with the AS400 and dry technical info and stuff like that.
And, I do hope so. I hope so.
And I also think that frankly I know a lot of phone freaks and people that share that same interest that will be going to Hope. And, you know, a lot of Hope is the presentations, obviously, but a lot of it is just chilling back with people that you meet up there in New York and, you know, shooting the shit. And I'm sure you'll find people there that you can exchange information with. And, you know, and for other people that are thinking about going to Hope, I'm sure you'll find people there that you can exchange information with regarding telephony systems and things of that nature, if that's your interest. And it's a good conference altogether. I'm sure there's something there for everyone, is what I'm trying to say. You know,
except
say
what about those people who are going because they want to meet you, Lucky 225?
Those two people that canceled.
That's the end of Default Radio. Just cut it. All right. Look, I couldn't make it to Hope. Shit happens, okay? I'll be at DEF CON, you know, and if there's another Hope conference, I'm sure I'll show up there. But unfortunately, things just didn't work out this year the way I'd hoped, the way I'd planned. And, you know, other plans were made, and that's just how it had to go.
I actually would like to go to DEF CON and check out some of those presentations, and yours included. You're going to be presenting along with who else?
Rigel 5 and Strom Carlson.
Okay, so that's going to be an interesting presentation.
Yep, it sure should be. But I tell you what, there's other presentations there at DEF CON. Jason Scott's in particularly, and I believe there's a privacy presentation. And I wanted to go see both of those. And
hey, Lucky,
you're in the same fucking time, the same time spot that we're speaking. That's pissing me off.
Hey, Lucky.
Yeah.
Do you want to go over an hour a little bit? Because we have 30 seconds left.
Yeah, sure. Just a
little. Okay. Shoutbox Reagan is next on Red Radio. Thanks for listening. All right,
later.
Yeah. Anyways, we're on DDP Hack Radio, the real server, the real home of Default Radio.
Okay, so we're on DDP, right?
Right.
I think so. Who knows?
Yeah.
Let's just assume.
Maybe.
The State Dog version of Default Radio.
Yeah, well, but like I was saying, you know, then there's other good...
There are two listeners on it, so for you two listeners, this is just for you.
And for whoever downloads it, of course. But anyway,
right.
Talk about Hope and your sad story about Hope and everything, Lucky.
Yeah, is one of those listeners you and, the other Doug?
I don't think so.
Okay, well, anyways, Yeah, I was just going to say, like, it kind of pisses me off that there's these great talks at DEF CON that I'm not even going to be able to attend, so I'm going to have to order the fucking CDs, too.
Yeah, that kind of sucks. They should give you that as a speaker. They should hook you up with the CDs of all the other presentations. I think that's something little they can do for the speakers, since we're volunteering our time and giving the presentations for free.
Two of the best speeches got to be competing at the same time that we're going to be doing our speech. That kind
of, I got the same thing. It seems on track A of mine, there is like a Hackers in the Law presentation going on. Who's not going to be interested in that, you know?
Yep. And it's like, it's really annoying because it's like, you know, a lot of people, one, are going to miss out on our speech because they want to see Jason Scott's speech. In fact, we were even joking about it, like, hey, if our speech sucks, we'll just walk over to Jason Scott's.
I told Murdoch he could take over mine so I can go watch the other one.
right? But, so, like, these people that are going to want to go see Jason Scott's, because I know if I was an attendee, I'd rather see his speech than ours. Tell the truth. Just tell the truth. But, people are going to miss out on ours. They're going to have to order the CDs. You know, it just pisses me off with having three speeches at the same time.
Well, I'd rather see yours because the more technical aspect of it, and possibly because I already have spoken to Jason Scott, and I know, you know, I've kind of heard him.
I've spoken to Jason Scott on several occasions, but I just, I've seen one, the thing is, I've seen one of his prior speeches. And they're
pretty good. Didn't he present last year?
Yeah, I think he presented last year and even the year before that. And, his speeches are really good. I mean, they're, I encourage anyone to go to his speech instead of ours. But, I guess that's really it, though. I just wanted to bitch about that before we cut off. So if you have any shouts, Stank Dog.
Oh, gosh, you know what? I was not thinking ahead of the shouts, but off the cuff here, I have to give shouts out to...
Doug.
Shouts out to Doug. Shouts out to Lucky.
Wow,
shouts
cool.
out to you know what? Shouts out to DDP, of course. Shout to Cypeat. Shout to ZeroDB. All the presenters at DEF CON and all the presenters at HOPE. Joking aside, that's not easy to do. You're going to get up in front of a bunch of people and give a topic, and you don't know how it's going to go over. So anybody who's volunteering to present at any of these conferences, shouts out to you. I guess that'll do it.
All righty, man. Doug, you got any shouts?
I got a shout out to Kizzle. I encourage everyone to listen to Herbalito Radio, just episode 8, because I'm on it. And a shout out to. Oh, I had a shout out for someone else. Shout
Me?
Out to Snake Dog.
Yeah!
Big shout out to Binary Revolutions magazine. And that one radio show with Binary Revolutions in it. And shout out to Dual Parallel. Even though I don't really know him, I just know I like his show. And shout to Knot Theory, because I've been talking to him on the forums. And he's been he might show up on Default Radio. I don't know. He was saying for him on Friday nights because he's always working and stuff. But he wants to make an appearance. So,
in fact, before I give my shouts here, Doug, I was thinking we haven't even announced the new Default Radio.
I was going to interrupt. Maybe you should just announce that there might be some format changes or possible changes to Default upcoming and leave it at that.
Right. The new change for Default Radio is we're not doing the show anymore. No, I'm just joking.
No.
The show has been canceled. Goodbye.
There will be some format changes and things of that nature, and hopefully we'll have good freaking content, stuff like that. I scanned out a little bit of an exchange. Didn't find too much.
Yeah,
some interesting numbers.
Yeah, all right, here's what I'm going to say. There is going to be a format change, a completely different format change, and there will be freaking involved, but that does not mean we're not going to be on for a few weeks. We're still going to be on the same old way we are for the next few weeks until the Default Radio upgrade happens or whatever.
Yeah.
Believe
in
more details to come in the future.
Yeah, and also...
And Doug, are we going to keep our promise? Like, we never do, but I believe we've promised our listeners a bridge. for tonight's episode. They could all come on for the summer.
Give that Tron loop that he likes so it was
that's
so hard
for him. It's not a bridge. It's a little loop.
Just give out
only
loop.
Two people can talk at once.
That's about how many listeners we have right now.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, for you two listeners.
Oh, right, no.
Well,
it's up to five. It took people a little bit to get over from the other server. So the five listeners who followed us over from Rant Radio over to Hack Radio server, welcome.
Yeah, welcome to DDP Hack Radio. The new server of DDP Hack Radio.
Yeah. Well, anyways.
Email into...
Do we have a bridge, or are we going to delay that like we always do?
Well, I don't know.
Delay information.
Is Rigel5 online? Ask him if it's cool to give out the 616. You know what? The 616 is on the forums. I really don't see the big deal. 616-608-7788. That's where the crowd hangs out at. It's got good security. You're not going to get owned there. You're going to have a good time. We're going to do some freaking. It's going to be fun. We're going to have good conversations. Come chill.
Yeah. We should remind our listeners that we do receive call party number information on this bridge on the 616-608-7788. We do ban numbers and people that are jackasses. And if you're a real jackass, Lacutus just might read your number out over the bridge.
Okay.
Probably won't happen if you're a cool person. You call them and you just come to chat and everything.
Right. Now, there is a little confusion here. Now, you'll see Tron try to register a new name on the forums all the time to get his little word out. And the reason he talks bad about the 616 is because he's banned for it for whatever reason. But we're not saying you have to call the 616. Call whatever bridge you want. But that's where you're going to find Lucky, at least, okay?
Yeah,
and that's where you're going to find Rigel5 and, you know, Lacutus and everything. There might be other conferences going on. Go there. You know, it really doesn't matter. But, you know, White Sword, if you want to talk about White Sword TV and the magics of UE, he's probably going to be on the 616 as well. So, there you go.
Yes. Again, 616-608-7788. That's it. And I believe... Well, let me give my shouts out.
Hey, you didn't do your shout yet.
First, my very first shout out is going to go to this payphone.
I love you, payphone.
That was just dirty. I am so going to take that, record it out of context, and use it.
Me too. It's going to be on the lucky soundboard.
Oh, whatever.
Be announced.
He said it all dirty and nasty, too, like, oh, I love you, cell phone. Oh, I love you, payphone.
I'm going to take that out of context.
Cell phone. I love my cell phone, too, by the way. But
yeah, let's say I fucked it up, so.
Yeah, just like a fucked up saying the word shout-outs. But anyways, the rest of my shouts are going to go to Rigel5 and to Kevin Mitnick and Emmanuel Goldstein. Big shouts to them. A big fuck you to Majestic. He's being a fucking dipshit. But,
big shouts to Majestic.
Huh?
Big shouts to Majestic.
Yeah, whatever.
Next week, calling Tron a big dipshit, and Majestic will be back in the shout-out. So
yeah, exactly.
All you do.
But so shout-outs to all those people that I left out, because I know I'm leaving out people here. I'm fucking giving shouts to my payphone. What the fuck? No. You know what? I'm giving a shout-out here to Cursed, because, I haven't spoke to him in a while. It seems every time he aims me, I'm away. So, not trying
big
to be a flake on you or anything, Cursed. You're a cool guy. So I'm giving
big shout
out
to Natus too. I got a shout to Natus right there.
Yeah, and a shout to Natus too.
He's been.
What about your boy from Poland there?
And obviously a shout to Havoc. You're cool.
And I'm sorry. Say you're sorry.
Say you're sorry.
I'm sorry, Havoc. I'm sorry. Oh, sorry. But yeah, so shouts to Havoc, and I think that's about it.
So, yeah, Default Radio, going to have changes in a few weeks, probably, maybe. We'll see. And always send an email to 1111 at Default Radio, because we need some email so we can read out on the show. And,
yeah,
if it's Havoc, we'll make sure Lucky reads it properly. And I think that's it.
I think that's it. And good night, everyone. And remember, everything. Fucking thing is always on default, including Stank Dog's voicemail. Goodbye.
I went to my apartment on a Monday at 1, singing do lolly lolly shaky bum shaky bum. started moving in it on a Tuesday at 2, was singing do lolly lolly shaky do shaky do. Wednesday at 3, I called the phone company singing, hey baby, put a phone in for me. Thursday at 4, he came and knocking at my door singing, hey baby, I'm your telephone man. You just show me where you want it and I'll put it where I can. I can put it in the bedroom, I can put it in the hall, I can put it in the bathroom, I can hang it on the wall. You can have it with the bush, you can have it with the ring, and if you really want it, you can have a ding-a-ling. Because hey baby, I'm your telephone man. Can't believe that naked. No one other fellas call you, tell them how it all began.
Well, come here. My heart began to thump and my mind began to fly, and I knew I wasn't dealing with no ordinary guy. So while he was talking, I was thinking up my plans, and my fingers did the walking on the telephone man, singing, hey lolly lolly, hey lolly lolly, hey lolly lolly, get in any way you can, right? So bedroom, and I got it in the hall, and I got it in the bedroom, and he hung it on the wall. I got it with the buzz, and I got it with the ring, and when he told me what my number was, I got a ding-a-ling, and singing, hey, lolly, lolly, hey, lolly, lolly, hey, lolly, lolly, just doing my thing.
I've never done anything like this before.